Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar-S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I spent some time in West Lafayette, Indiana. Years and years and years ago, I covered Purdue. I brought that up multiple times this week. I was a young man. Tom Dienhart is the writer and editor who covers Purdue football for On3.com. He's terrific. He's the go-to on that beat. He's joining us now. How are the Purdue fans feeling about a Friday night football game, Tom?
Yeah, first, John, I have to know, when you were in covering Purdue as a young man, did you have a full lush head of hair back then?
I did have a lush head of hair, a full head of hair. Nobody would recognize me today. You know how that goes.
We got the same bar. Yeah, we're all looking forward to having the Ducks roll in here. You know, I can remember back in 1979, I was a freshman in high school. The Ducks were here, and Rich Brooks was still the coach. Of course, Ducks were out here back in 2008 or 9, I believe, and then Purdue went back out there. A couple close games, the Ducks won. So here comes number 2, Oregon. So, yeah, blackout game. Purdue's going to have special uniforms. Should be a little nippy out, but the mood, John, here is a lot better than it was a week ago just because of the way Purdue played last week over in Champaign and that 50-49 OT loss.
Tom, what changed? Because I saw Purdue at Oregon State, you know, just feels like a few weeks ago, and the offense and the passing game, it just wasn't there. And then I was kind of side-eyeing that game, and it goes to overtime this last Saturday, and they score 49 points, had a chance to win it. It looked like a different team.
It was bananas, John. It was crazy. A lot has changed since we talked in the old press box at Oregon State a few weeks ago. Number one, I guess the big one, was Ryan Walters, incredibly, is now calling plays. I couldn't believe it, John. The news sort of started leaking out. I got word of it late Thursday and confirmed for sure in the press box early that morning that, indeed, Ryan Walters, incredibly, was going to be calling plays. He'd never done it before in his life. So that changed. And then, of course, the quarterback, right? Hudson Carter got hurt at Wisconsin, concussion protocol. Ryan Brown makes his first career start, and they changed the offense too, John. They really turn things loose for the quarterback, a real athletic kid, a big kid. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we talked to him last night at a night practice, and the teammates were kind of hooting and hollering at him, sort of like teasing him because he was getting interviewed. And talking to coaches too, there's a real likability about this kid, and the players seem to really be rallying around him.
Yeah, and look, Ryan Brown, we'll get that start on Friday. Was there any question? Did Ryan Walters say that, you know, he was up in the air and it was or was it all based on Brown's performance against Illinois?
He said at his Monday presser, John, that Hudson Carter is still yet to be cleared. So it's still a health issue. Now, if Hudson had been cleared, would he still be starting? That's a great question. If Hudson Carter gets cleared here before kickoff Friday, will he still play? But for sure, Ryan Brown is starting. The big question, John, is going to be if Hudson Card is cleared, will they use him too in concert with Ryan Brown? And, you know, we talked to some other assistants, specifically a guy named Jason Simmons, who was the play caller. And he kind of told us or intimated us that there's a good chance both could be used if Hudson Card is healthy. So that's something to keep on your radar here as kickoff approaches.
I was reading one of your stories from a few days ago, and well, you know, Oregon, the number 2 team in the country, coming off a big win. And the last time a number 2 team visited Ross-Ade Stadium, 2018, Ohio State. And the Boilers stunned the Buckeyes, beat them 49-20. Craft a case for a Purdue upset. What needs to happen?
Oh, man. What needs to happen? I think offensively they have to keep the ball away from Oregon, obviously. They got to be able to run it. quote unquote, shorten the game, as they say, right? And control the clock, control the ball, control time of possession, sort of what Vanderbilt did against Alabama a couple of weeks ago. I think they had the ball for like 42 minutes. That's something Purdue has to do. And they're going to need a couple of takeaways. They're going to have to win the turnover battle. Maybe Oregon coughs it up and throws some picks, has three or four turnovers. And, John, I always think if you're going to pull off an upset, you always have to score some type of unconventional touchdown. Okay. You have to score on defense or special teams, something like that, too. So that may be sort of at least three key ingredients that would need to be present for Purdue to pull off. Well, and, again, it would just be a stupefying, unbelievable upset. I think Oregon right now, are they, about a 28-point favorite?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be a titanic upset. And the odds, of course, are very long, but I guess there's always a chance, right? We watch this sport every Saturday, and I'm always amazed. So, and again, I think those are a few things that would have to take place for Purdue to have any shot at all.
Tom Dienhart with us, covers Purdue football on Three. Great follow on social media as well. Tom, you know, let me ask you, the travel, a lot's been made of the travel. A lot was made of Ohio State coming across multiple time zones, and the Big Ten teams struggling with that travel. Do you buy that, or do you think it's good teams win and it's tough to beat good teams at home?
I don't buy the travel thing. I think good teams just win. I think too much is being made out of that. I know we're all citing on the stats. I think the Big Ten teams like 3-9, I want to say, going west this year. 2-1 last week, right? Minnesota and Penn State won. And but yeah, I think too much is made out of it. And I guess pro teams been doing this for decades, and for some reason in college sports, everybody's wringing their hands about teams traveling west. And
yeah.
And you never hear NFL teams bring it up, really, do you?
Nope.
I don't know. To me, I think it's kind of an excuse. And like you said, good teams, you typically win these games. So, again, I guess it's just something I'm not buying.
I need to see a bigger sample size. Like, if you know, if at the end of the year we're looking back and the teams traveling are like, you know, 12-48, then maybe we start to have a different conversation about it. But I think the sample size still relatively small. How is Purdue feeling in general with kind of the shifting landscape of college athletics? Because from a basketball standpoint, and Zach Edey, terrific run in the last couple of years for Purdue. Football standpoint, it hasn't been as rosy. But how is the fan base feeling as it's positioned in the Big Ten and the larger ecosystem?
I think for football, kind of lost, I'll be honest with you. You have an 18-team conference, and you kind of wonder what's going to happen to programs like Purdue and Minnesota and Indiana, that meaty middle to lower pack of a Big Ten teams. Well, what are they really playing for, John? There's no more division titles. I know there's always a shot to maybe get a playoff berth, but the odds of that happening, I think, would be really, really remote for some of the teams I talked to, Rutgers, Maryland, you know, even Michigan State. So you kind of wonder if you're a fan, well, what are you really playing for? I guess you can still get these bowl games, but it's so funny every year we see these players opting out of bowl games, and what's supposed to be the pinnacle of the season turns out to be a non-factor. The guy's not playing in these games. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see where all this will go, if they'll stay in the with one 18-team division or not. And, yeah, basketball, of course, everybody here is stoked, right? They've already turned the page, and looking forward to the season. Purdue's been picked to win the conference, and it's going to be certainly a much different team, John, without Zach Edey. Won't be quite as post-centric, but you know the guards they've got. Fletcher Lloyd, of course, awfully good, and they've got a couple wings they like, too. Watch Miles Colvin, Camden Hiding, of course. You know, they've got the coach and Matt Painter. So a lot of excitement at Purdue, and then Braden Smith, the point guard, too. So basketball-wise, there's a lot of people, like I said, have already shifted their focus to that sport here.
Yeah, and I get the sort of hand-wringing over what are you playing for, because I think a lot of the country feels that way. And, you know, there might be 20 or 25 teams that really feel like they have a shot. I don't even know if it's that many when you think about playing for the ultimate prize in college football. We're talking to Tom Dienhart, who is covering Purdue for On Three Sports. How long have you been on that beat?
I've been back here since about 2019. I was at the Sporting News for a long time in St. Louis, and then worked with the rivals, Yahoo people, and at the Big Ten Network. And this is actually where I'm from, John, West Lafayette native. You know, parents worked at Purdue, and I went to Purdue and went to high school, stone's throw from Osage Stadium. So, you know, it's always kind of nice being back, you know, with a familiar turf. Football-wise, you wish the circumstances were more fun to cover. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't really looked forward to making that walk in the press box, the post-game press conference too often this fall. You know, this is it's not going real well here, and there's the speculation is flying, John. Everybody's gone through the contracts. What's the buyout going to be if they get rid of Ron Walters? And some people think if this thing really gets sideways Friday night, maybe something happens Saturday morning here. So, you hate to speculate, but in a place like Purdue, too, John, they typically don't fire coaches after 2 years, but things have gotten so far off the rails here with how they've looked that the fan base is ablaze with anger and ire. And, you know, nobody expected miracles this year, right? They haven't looked competitive.
We talked about this yesterday on the show that, you know, in the NFL, there's less patience with head coaches. And I wonder in the NIL era where fans are giving more money, feel more vested with the programs, they're stakeholders now. I wonder if there will be less patience because you can't afford to give, you know, a little more, can't afford to go an extra year. You can't afford to lose the enthusiasm of the fan base because then your NIL collective really suffers. You know, give me the idea of if they're going to make a change, why after the Oregon game, or do you wait till after that run with Ohio State and Penn State coming up in mid-November?
Yeah, that's something I've talked to with some of my colleagues. What would you really gain by making a move now? Probably nothing, honestly, right? Other than making your search public, announcing to the world that, hey, we have an opening here.
Yeah.
Publicly, you're quote-unquote first in line, whatever that's worth, if you think there's any value being the first in line or not publicly. But honestly, there may not be much value to really making any move like that, late October. And like you said, there's still a lot of heavy lifting left here. Ohio State and Penn State, and heck, they still have to go to IU, which has been ranked, have to go up to Michigan State. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But everybody, like I said, is a lot of angst here. And there was a lot of surprise when this hire was made back in December 2022 to hire a guy who's 36, never been a head coach, and from the defensive side of the ball. They zigged when everybody thought they were going to zag. And if there is a change here made, John, I think the template has to include two non-negotiable traits. Number one, the guy's got to be a proven head coach. And number two, he's got to be an offensive guy.
Tom Dienhart, I appreciate you. Good luck on the game. Look forward to reading your coverage.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Hey, enjoy listening to you and Wilner, too. Thanks for having me, buddy.
You bet. All right, there he is, Tom Dienhart. Does a super job. Knows that program inside and out. And you can tell, I love when he said he grew up just a stone's throw from the campus. Consider that Purdue's final six games of the season, they play Oregon, they play Ohio State, they play Penn State, they play Indiana, they have games against Northwestern and Michigan State. So four of the six remaining games are likely to be ugly and blow out ugly, potentially. So it does become kind of an interesting Friday night game. Think about the wild cards involved in Oregon's visit to Rossade Stadium on Friday night. A, it's a Friday night. B, it comes across multiple time zones. C, it comes against a team that's got a new offensive coordinator who had some success last week. D, we're going to find out if Purdue's players want that coach to be retained. Steven, is it at all dicey or just too much talent for Oregon?
I think it's too much talent for Oregon on this one. I understand that Friday night at Purdue, it's going to be tough because we've seen it in the past. We've seen Purdue dominate teams like Ohio State when they're really good, and there wasn't much expected out of them. I just think it's Oregon's too talented. I think Purdue is not very good. That, you know, they found a freshman quarterback, but you're telling me a freshman quarterback is going to be slicing a dice in the Oregon defense? I don't see that happening. So I just think it's the talent's edge with Oregon. It'll be a pretty easy win.
Oregon would have to have a really off night, I think, on Friday night. And look, there's a psychological component to coming off a huge victory against Ohio State that, you know, I want to see a little life from Oregon early. But how are you feeling about the point spread in this game? in the way that lines up. Does Oregon cover that spread in your mind, or is that a question that's out there?
I mean, that's more of a question. I could see
27.5.
That's a lot of points to be on the road in a conference game. I think out of principle, I would probably take Purdue just with the points. So, yeah, I do think that's in question, but I don't think that it's going to be – it's not going to be like the Idaho game where we thought, oh, man, is Idaho actually going to pull this off? Or even the first half, I can see it being more like a game against Oregon State where first half, Oregon State plays really well. You know, Oregon kind of feels himself out, and then the second half, the talent comes through at the end. I think it's more like that than it would be an actual close game to the end.
And Oregon has not seemed interested other than maybe – you know, I just think, by and large, Oregon does not seem interested in embarrassing anybody and blowing anybody out. Have you noticed that? Like, and I don't know if it's by design or not, but even like, you know, the Oregon State game, even though it was a lopsided game, I didn't feel like Oregon was trying to embarrass Oregon State. You know, I didn't feel that way against Michigan State. I didn't feel that way against UCLA watching them, you know, and those other games were all close. And so I just don't think Dan Lanning is interested in trying to, like, prove anything. I think he knows everybody's watching Oregon anyway.
We said this after the first couple of games, like, is Oregon holding stuff back? And it seemed like against Ohio State, they were attacking down the field, which we haven't really seen much on the season, but they pulled it out against Ohio State. So I think you're right. I think they have been, you know, not playing vanilla, but they're not throwing out all the weapons that they possibly need to. And I don't think they'll need to against Purdue either. I think they're kind of saving it up for the Michigan game, maybe even a game at Wisconsin later on in the season. But when you're playing at Purdue, I think you'll be okay.
We shall see. The Big Splash coming up. Trent Bray, Oregon State coach, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Anna's got the 5 at 5. She makes her triumphant return to the show. Leave it here. Much more ahead.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar S, Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.